Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, welcome to this episode of the Flats and Shanks pod. I'm actually becoming the introducer now, aren't I? Master of ceremonies.
Yeah, you are.
The ringmaster.
Yeah, you are.
An old name I used to go by.
The egomaniac. You're an egomaniac. You're a Mike Hogg.
Just before we came online, I said, this is going to have to be a rugby one. And you winced. Bit your bottom lip.
You said, let's do a bit more. You said, we've got to do a bit more. And I think you're probably a lot of things.
You're bang on, right? Wrong. You're going to say. Now I'm going to start this on a negative.
Standard.
Standard for you, not for me. We obviously had quite a lot of reviews after my last plea, and I sort of feel like Frankenstein.
Is that why we're doing more rugby? Because you've read them all, and they say not enough rugby.
I feel like Frankenstein. I feel like I've created a monster. There's a couple of nice ones. I'm going to try and find it now. It had, I don't think I'm going to be able to find it. How can I find the reviews? Oh, here we are.
Well, I don't know. I've never here looked. We are.
There's quite a few good ones. How I would describe this when I'm looking at it is like you're out on the town and you've ignored your missus, and all of a sudden then you get an essay through that you're trying to read 10 pints deep. At best, naively. At worst, arrogantly. Two men have decided that, given their growing, well-deserved media presence, they are now interested enough to chat harmlessly enough between each other whilst expecting the listener to be entertained. Secretly, I think they know they're absolutely not, but now make it look like they're aware of it, having retrospectively dressed it up as the main virtue of the show. It's a very difficult read, this, so you'll have to excuse me.
Why are you reading it? I don't understand why you're reading it.
Because we read the praised ones last week, so we have to give it context.
Right, yeah. Okay.
Sometimes David Flatman appears painfully aware of it and seemingly reluctant to be involved at all. They confuse entertainment with their fields of interest, namely TV, food, family, stories, where you need to be there, cars and rugby. I like these things too. Unfortunately, they just don't have the skill to make the first five interesting or entertaining, and the sixth barely features rugby. It's then you realise they're ex-rugby players, now pundits, who don't like to veer too far away from their main interest. You could get this down the pub, but you also might find yourself looking around for a different conversation. It's a real shame. I've listened since the first ep, and I don't know why you put ep when you spell every other single word full. And generally like them both, but their friendship, shared past and chat doesn't stretch to a weekly upload. And that is Joe Struthers.
Don't name titled, him.
I used to like this. Well, it's there, mate. It's clear. it's on our review page. Now.
No, fair enough, mate.
Yeah. Fair enough, mate.
Not for everyone.
Fair enough. Now, we did this. I did this. We asked for a plea just for a little bit of a confidence boost, and that's taking me right back down now. That's like reading that's like reading Twitter after you've done a game online, a big game as well.
Yeah, you mustn't do that.
And you've messed up someone's name.
You mustn't do that. You mustn't ever look, because the thing is, when you, I reckon, well, if there's 100 of us, which there isn't, say there's 50 of us who do games, I reckon 48 of us go on Twitter within 30 minutes of the final whistle to see what people have said. And it's really hard not to, because people are talking about you. And if people are talking about you in a room, and you know they are, you would rather have ears on the conversation than not. That's almost everybody, I expect. But actually, what happens is there will always be, like, there will always be, what happened the other week? There was an article in a newspaper, I don't know what paper it was, but it was about Sir Clive Woodward stepping down from TV work, right? So he's not doing the Six Nations and not doing it anymore. So that was in the paper. And then in the comments section, obviously underneath, I just get this screenshot from my mate from school who thinks he's funny. And in the screenshot, it's just like, someone says something like, just can we have more David Flatman, please? No more of him. He's nowhere near as funny as he thinks he is, or something like that.
Correct.
So my mate then sends, so I said, like, what's this? He goes, don't worry, there were hundreds of nice ones. And it's like, but this is my favorite. So it's kind of like, if you go looking, you will find something unpleasant that someone just in passing has said about you. And it's kind of, I don't see why you go looking when you know it's there. Well, I do. It's part of the human condition somehow, but I don't see why you go looking.
I don't care, Dave. You know that. Not at all. I felt bad that we gave ourselves a bit of praise last week. So I just wanted to bring us back down to terra firma to sort of say, look, we're not perfect. Near enough. Look, but
Joe from Luton thinks you're crap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there is there's a back row who plays for Bath. I won't say his name because it's not fair, because he's just one of the players. And my neighbour walked past the other day and said, Cor, he was good, wasn't he, against Toulouse? And I said he was. I thought he was really good, actually. And what this neighbour doesn't know is that about 3 months ago or 6 months ago, we were chatting down the road, and he said, who's starting in this position? And I said his name. And he goes, oh, God, just do not see. I watch all the games, whichever game he's played, he just does nothing. He does absolutely nothing. And you're like, that is actually sort of Twitter, isn't it? He's allowed to think that. I mean, we think that about people we watch all the time, good and bad. You don't, you know, we verbalise some of it. You don't verbalise all of it because it's not appropriate, or it doesn't help, or it's not relevant, whatever. But you think, well, whatever you do, like, Brad Pitt is an amazing actor. There will be many, many, many people who think he's crap. Doesn't mean he's crap. You know, do you know what I mean?
I didn't know you felt so strongly on it.
I
love it.
I've got something negative to say on social media or whatever, I don't say it. Because I think there is literally no point to this. There is literally no point to this. There's no.
I had a screen grab the other day. No win. Said, what is the point of Tom Shanklin? It's from some sort of Facebook rugby pod. And you know what? It's like your mates who send you them through.
Yeah, it's always your mates that send them. Yeah.
It's brilliant. But
it's like I said before, right, I'm going off social media. And it's like, no, because your mates will still send you the abuse. They will still screenshot and send it to you. That's what happened.
There was lots of nice reviews, but I just thought I had to read this one. It's the worst one we've had for a while. Just to give it balance, David, you know, because we don't want to get big heads.
I sometimes feel like I should be listening to more. I do listen to podcasts, but I should be listening to more sports podcasts, because you know, so much of what we do is in that world. And
why do you want to mate when there's so many serial killer podcasts out there?
Well, exactly. Well, exactly. But I just find myself like I really like all the guys that do them, like Jonesy and Oogs. I really like those guys.
Yeah,
BBC.
Yeah. Do you know what? I listen to them. You know, there's a lot. I will listen to the Scrum 5 podcast. Nicky Robinson basically makes me just get the numbers up. But I will listen to them mostly during sort of high peak weekends of sport. So through the Six Nations, through like, I don't know, local derbies, Welsh derbies, because it does give you, it is quite analytical and it's good. And it's good for prep as well, because you might find some nuggets of information that you haven't found researching yourself. So it is always good. I have found a pretty decent new one though. It was called, and it is called, Real Survival Stories, which I enjoyed.
So we're no longer on sports podcasts here.
No, but I've just before I forget, I want to tell you that that's a good one. But yeah,
okay.
What sports ones do you listen to?
Well, I listen to the Ruck, the Times podcasts, quite a lot.
Got it right there.
Yeah, I listen to that. Alex Lowe and Will Kelleher and Stuart Barnes when he's on it. I really like that one. I think it's really good. Al Dimmock's on it quite a lot as well. Just bright guys that obviously we know from playing days and all that stuff. But and now as sort of fellow media types, I think they offer quite interesting perspectives on things. And, you know, it was quite interesting listening to what you'd call mainstream media at, you know, around the time that they were being blamed from some quarters for Owen Farrell's, for a portion of Owen Farrell's, what would you call it? Poor mental health and poor mental well-being. So there was kind of that was quite an interesting listen. But I listened to that, but otherwise I kind of listened to books. I don't worry. Yeah, I do. Like, took the kids to school this morning, and I've got I couldn't even tell you what it's called, the book I'm listening to, but I'm really enjoying it. So I get about 4 minutes on the way home from school.
Mr. Tickle.
In the rain, it's bloody
Mr.
great.
Strong. Mr. Strong.
What's it called? What's it called? Don't know. But yeah, there is no. I find I can't imagine a. There are people that we often get messages that we obviously don't read out because it's gross, but where people say I've listened since day one, and you probably meet people a lot of the time everywhere you go. I meet people a lot of places I go.
They always go. Where's Shanks? I am Shanks.
I am Shanks. Where's Flat? Where's Bin Liner? No, you missed it. Yeah, but it's all good fun. Everyone's lovely. Like, you know, and those gags are not original, but that's why they're funny, because they're exactly what you expect to come, and they come. So it's great, and people are lovely. But I can't imagine. You know, I don't think I have the capacity to listen to every episode of one podcast for year after year. I just don't have that. I told you I listened to a couple of Joe Rogan podcasts, and I found a couple of them really interesting and funny. And the MMA ones, the UFC ones, I found interesting. And then, like, it goes off in some directions where I kind of think, I don't know if I'm as comfortable with that as I was with the last pod where you were just talking about leg kicks, you know?
Does anyone ever call you Shanks?
Yeah, all the time.
Oh, good. Because
people say, "Oh, you and Flat." They say to me, "Oh, you and Flat."
I was reading a running order that Gary Jenkins had created the other day. What game was it? I think it was Cardiff Quins, and in the running order, he had put Sarah chat with Flats,
and it was me.
He met me.
And he does know the difference. Do you know what? These weekends, like I was at Sarri's on for the Lyon game on Saturday night, the late one, and the number of games. When you're at home and you're a punter, quite rightly, you just sit there and the game starts and you watch it. But the number of games and the number of boxes they've got to tick, and you know, the detail they've got to get into to get all these shows live, all these games live. Jeepers, it is.
Yeah, it's hard.
It's nuts. Lot. Like you,
do you, it's hard just
you leave home and there's a game on and there's three more games on before you start your game and there's another game after yours and you're like, how are they doing this?
I know, because if you're doing two games or three games over the weekend, it's so hard to retain all that information about you know, six different teams. So when you're writing running orders and you're producing the show, it is just as hard to retain information. Like, I can probably retain enough for two games. Like, after that, it's gone. I have to relook at notes, sort of switch yourself off, because so much information, it can actually get really confusing.
And a game ends, we're at the Sarries game, and a game elsewhere ends. I mean, I've forgotten what game now, but a game ends elsewhere. And it's like 3 minutes after it ends, we're getting updates on our game-specific WhatsApp group about the permutations of that result on our result. And I'm like, this is from the guy who's writing all the running orders and running the show. You're like, mate, this guy has got like an unbelievable brain capacity for data. Like, he's not just a stats guy. It's like, wow, amazing.
Martin Gillingham is always good for
that. Yeah, yeah, he is.
Like, he upskilled me on the weekend because the Challenge Cup game, Dragons versus Sharks, and I actually forgot that the two best teams in third place also get a home draw in the Challenge Cup.
Yeah. Now you know.
Which I totally forgot about.
Do the teams that drop down from Champions to Challenge automatically have home game?
See? We'll ask Martin. But I knew what he's talking about, because when someone says, I'm happy to be challenged, they know they're right.
Yeah.
And he started off the conversation with that. I was like, oh, well done. We should talk.
He knows his onions.
On Owen Farrell, because that's the big news that's come out. It was on Boozy Breakfast. It was released yesterday.
Well, and Lewis Rees-Sammit. We haven't done that yet.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What do you think of Lewis Rees-Sammit first? Go on then.
I think it's great. I think it's great.
Me too.
I want him to go and get a $100 million contract. Like, I think it's amazing. And I like the NFL, but I'm by no means a proper fan I'm not knowledgeable in any way, but I've kind of read about these attempted conversions and sort of preseason assessment camps kind of thing. I've read about them a few times before, and I've been reading a little bit about them this time, and it's quite interesting when you, in terms of like raw genetics and the attributes he's got, you think, well, it could really work. But actually, somebody, I don't know who was, I can't remember, was writing about, well, there are certain positions where it's kind of genetics. It's kind of what have you got physically? And there are other positions which are skill positions. And the skill positions, in those positions, you are competing against guys who in a, the majority of cases have been doing this since they were children. So it's going to be far more natural, you know, far, far more natural and sort of a default skill and default movements for them. And then you've got the running patterns, I'm sure he can do because he's an amazing athlete. But it's, yes, it's a different ball, but it's the fact that he's wearing loads of kit and catching in a helmet and wearing a helmet with a face grid on it and a face guard on it and all that sort of stuff. So I, you know, from everything I read, and it appears very unlikely that he will, in inverted commas, make it, which means very unlikely that he will play a number of seasons in the NFL as a, you know, an active player. But I really, really, really hope he does. And I hope he defies the odds and goes over there and kills it. And if he doesn't, he could be back in time, definitely for the next World Cup, potentially in time for a Lions tour. So why not have a crack?
Chase your dreams, mate. He's 22. What do you think? He's coming up to 23 years old. Time is on his side. He's young. His father played American football, I think, for a British team. His father's actually a really good looking bloke as well. And so you can see where he gets
good
it
to
from.
Know.
So
good detail.
I blame Graham Flatman, mate. Jim Shanklin.
Yeah.
Wow, we turned out. And if it doesn't work, if he's over there for a year or two, then he's got so much youth on his side that clubs will be queuing up to pick him up. And it's a great experience, and it's something they can look back when he's retired to think, yeah, you know, I went over there like Robbie Williams, like take that. I try to break America. Maybe it happens, maybe it doesn't. Maybe it turns into like a celebrity out there. Yeah. Did it. The Beatles did it. Maybe other opportunities arise. Maybe it becomes a bit of a celeb because he's going to be quite high profile coming over. He's the biggest. Well, Christian Wade was a big star, but like Lewis Rees-Zammit is another level, in my opinion.
Well, it's not just your opinion. He's a
A Lion.
He's
so
a
is
starting
Wade.
International player in a Lion. So he is literally on another level, yeah.
Yeah. So, and I hope it goes well for him. But you're right, it is a really highly skillful game.
Yeah.
It's where they pick him, where they decide to play him, which is gonna be difficult. But I think it's brilliant, mate. I'm so happy for him that he's taken a risk and thought, you know what, I'm gonna go over there and I'm gonna try and crack it. I'm going to try and make it. And if I don't, then I'll come back and carry on as I have. So all for it, mate. All for it.
Yeah.
It's a shame. I'm gutted, though, that we're losing him, especially in a big tournament that's coming up now for the Six Nations, because I think we would have seen him be a starting 15, which would have enabled us to get more ball in Lewis Rees-Zammit's hands. Maybe play more of a counter-attack game, more of a running game at 15, less kicking, less pragmatic, which I think was it's all good for Wales. And now we're searching for another 15 for the Six Nations now. And who's going to play there? Might be Yoann Lloyd, might be Josh Adams, might be Yoann Lloyd at 15. Not sure how fit he is, mate. I think he's going to miss the first two games. He bust his jaw against Quinns. So, he looks good. He looks good. Owen Farrell, leave him.
Yeah.
Mental health reasons.
Wrestling, 92.
Can't play for England. He can't play for England, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Yep.
2-year deal.
Sabbatical, really. Like a lot of players
I think
do.
It's, yeah, get away. I mean, it's not like he's going for a rest. He's going, it'll be harder there than it is here. Because there's more games. It's just
Kiwi
more
players
games.
Do that. Kiwi players do that. They leave New Zealand for a couple of years. Come back. Not, some do go to Japan, some go to France, but they're still taking 2 years out of playing international rugby.
So he's gone for 2 years. So I think I'm right in saying I'm here to be challenged. What does Gillo say?
Yeah.
Here to be challenged. That he can still play for the Lions, and obviously Andy Farrell being the head coach. So he could still play for the Lions, even though he plays for Racing, and he could be back in time for another World Cup if he fancied a tilt at that. But good for him. I mean, it's not like he's stepping down in profile and visibility, but he is in UK terms, and he feels uncomfortable in the UK now, and he's made that very clear. So, or at least the statements we've read have made that very clear. So good on him. And I'm sure he's getting well looked after. I'm sure he'll have a great time surrounded by brilliant players. And actually, he could be a brilliant signing for them, because this whole French flair thing, I think they, at Racing in particular, have a lot of players who can do amazing things. And actually, Owen might add a bit of structure to that. He's got an excellent kicking game, kicked a lot of points. He's actually got a brilliant attacking, really wide away passes.
Sam gone again.
I don't know why. I mean, I haven't done anything.
It's just going to be the internet connection we got, that's all.
Oh, right. So I think his kicking points, his passing game, his short kicking game, and his defensive solidity could be exactly what Racing need to take them up a notch. Already a good team, but take them up a notch, I think. So you couldn't exactly call signing Owen Farrell a canny piece of recruitment. He is an established international player, and they will have paid the odds and got a really good player. But actually, I think he is very likely a very good signing for Racing because they've got a lot of players that do amazing things. But actually, Owen could perhaps offer a bit more shape, a bit more structure. His part of the game is fantastic. Kicks a lot of points, defensive solidity. He's not really a 10 that you target. You tend to go inside or outside him if you're targeting players. So I think really, really good signing for Racing. I hope he's brilliant for them. Hope he has a great time and all that. So, and actually, things aren't brilliant at Sarri's. They really kicked into gear, and we'll talk about this in a second, the second half against Lyon the other night. But actually, they have looked a little ragged for a couple of weeks. So, yeah, it's an interesting one. Mark McCall's talked about it being the end of an era, and it does have that feeling about it. What do you make of it?
I think it's great. I think mentally, it'll freshen them up massively. Often, as England players and an England captain especially, you're under a lot of pressure if the team doesn't perform because of how much budget England have, the teams they've got, the richest union, all of this comes into effect, and people are constantly looking for a reason why England don't perform. You know, you look at them, and you said it before, that they probably should win every single tournament with the resources they've got and the funding they've got, but rugby isn't as simple as that at all. And he's at the front of that, a lot of it, with the head coach. So I can honestly see why he would have wanted to leave. He's done many, many years in England. You know, people like him or don't like him. He's a bit Marmite. For me, he's brilliant. I love watching him play. And he's the type of player that you'd want to play with in your team. There has been some issues with him. I don't know, discipline-wise. And there has been red cards and there has been tackles. And people jump on the back of that, and he gets so much stick for it. I can really see why he wants to leave. And imagine just waking up in Paris and just thinking, right, I don't have to deal with all of that anymore. Now I can have 2 years stress-free, apart from obviously having to perform for your club, but not being international captain, not having that pressure and all that stress that comes with that. So I think it's great. I think it'll prolong his career. And you're right, you know, he's still eligible for the Lions. He'll be in the Lions if he wants to, because you need someone like that. You know, you need a winner. You need someone who plays, he's not pragmatic, but he's structured in the way he wants to play. And you need that, because you can't all be like Finn Russell's. You need that yin and yang, and he's a massive part of that. So, yep, good on him, mate. He's done his yards. He's done his hard yards at England. He's done his time there. Why not go out and have 2 years away from international rugby and live a bit more of a stress-free life?
So who'd you start at 10 for England? George Ford, Marcus Smith, or Finn Smith?
One of the Smiths, yeah.
George, Marcus Smith you'd start with, you or Finn Smith?
No, Marcus Smith.
Marcus Smith.
Yeah.
Who would you have at centre?
Ollie Lawrence at 13.
At 13?
Yep. And maybe Henry Slade at 12.
That way round?
Mm.
You don't want the big lad at 12?
I think he's much more of a better... He's a better strike runner than Slade. A Rolls Royce. Slade reminds me of Guscott now, but he's also a playmaker as well. I just think Lawrence is the form 13 at the moment. Why would you want to take that away from him and put him at 12 where there's less room? He'll end up being a crash ball merchant, giving him gain line, which he can do, but he's so much better with a bit more space and a bit more time.
I don't know if you saw him crashing, if you saw the Toulouse-Bath game at the weekend, but Ollie Lawrence coming off the back of those lineups, flat ball off nine, brutal. Yep. One of them he just scored from. He just went straight through and scored, but just brutal coming off that line. And I suppose if he's at 13, he can still do that off first phase. You can put him where you want him. Yeah.
Easy. But I just think he's playing that well, flat at 13. Why would you want to mess around and move him inside a little bit?
I tell you one player who I'm always surprised isn't talked about more as an option at 12 for England is Fraser Dingwall. Just such a good player, does such nice things. Whoever's playing at 13 for Saints, Rory Hutchinson or Tommy Freeman, he does such nice things all the time. And as you know, one of the Saints guys said to me, he's not the biggest, he's not the quickest, he's not the strongest, but he might be the best. And it's actually, he's a fantastic player. And you think, well, Ollie Lawrence rightly and Henry Slade grabbed the headlines, Freeman grabbed the headlines, but actually it's not just, you know, let's get someone solid in there. It's actually, no, this guy's brilliant. He's brilliant. He's just not a giant. And it's a bit like Rory Hutchinson. You know, I watch Rory Hutchinson every week. Scotland have some great options. I know that, but I watch and Rory Redpath. Hutchinson every week and Redpath, yeah. Mm. But I watch Hutchinson every week and he is just fantastic. He is mesmerizing sometimes on the ball, but he doesn't seem quite to get the attention that, you know, someone who's 6'4 and 17 stone might get if they were doing the same thing. And that's natural because you literally see more of them, I guess. But it's a good Biggins beat good Littlins and all that stuff. But I think Fraser Dingwall might have more of a shout than people think. A lot of people talk about Dan Kelly at Leicester Tigers, X, another really good option. I just think Dingwall offers more than, you know, more than perhaps, you know, I think he merits more coverage than he gets is my point. But yeah, I think the obvious two people at the moment, the front runners in the moment to put in the England midfield would be Slade and Lawrence. But it's which way round you put them. And would I be right? You're a centre, so I'll ask you this. Would I be right in thinking you can worry too much about who's playing inside and outside? Or do you kind of have to nail your colours to the mast pre-match? And you kind of have to be where you are. It's not like saying, well, a prop's a prop and whoever gets there first goes far side, like in when you're under 10s. Do you kind of have to be a 12 or a 13 most of the time?
Yeah, you don't want to be swapping around too much. It unsettles you a little bit. I think teams can play left and right and you can change sort of backline moves accordingly, but you either play 12 or you play 13. And I think Slade is more of a creator than Lawrence, more of a ball player. So for me, he slots in okay at 12. And I'd say Ollie Lawrence is your strike runner. And some strike runners are a little bit better further out. You know, like you wouldn't put Esther Hazen as a strike runner at 13. You put him at 12 because just his carrying ability, he's big, he's tall, he can get over tackles because he's tall and get his arms through. Whilst I think Lawrence is more, he bursts through tackles. And I wouldn't play him at 12. I'd play him at 13 because he's playing that well. Just on your point on 12s as well, Flats, like Cam Redpath, he's a lot like sort of your Fraser Dingwalls types of player. Like, just makes good decisions. Watched him a couple of times this season so far in Bath European games and just low error count, constantly in the game, constantly got his hands on the ball, not selfish. Because you've got a selfish 12 who just wants to carry all the time. You don't often get the ball out of the back. He knows where the space is. He's intelligent. And he's just as important, I think, to Bath.
Are you saying you never got the ball when you play with Jamie Roberts? Why are you saying that? You're so out of order. Someone spray-painted crowbar on the front of his house. No, they didn't.
Yeah. But no, you get it less, though, is my point. You know, if you've got a 12 that wants to carry, you know, his first thought is to carry, his second thought is to pass, whilst you get the sort of new Monday 12, their first thought is to ship the ball wide.
The link, yeah. I just feel like that so many of the top teams, it's not all about size, but so many of the top teams have somebody really powerful at 12 who can get through and around and over tackles. Yeah. And
but if you get the boys, you know, that can do it all, brilliant. You know, if you get the boys that are powerful and can link, then it'll cost you 400 bags, but
But like a Jonathan Donty is arguably more powerful than Ollie Lawrence or close to it. he's better over the ball defensively, so he's handy to have tight in, but he also gets the ball away nicely and distributes well for a man of that size and power. And Dierlandi, Esterhazen, Jordi Barrett, a lot of these top teams, you know, Bundiaki is a physical, he's a massive physical presence at 12, and he's so much more than a crash ball merchant. He runs good lines, but the clever lines, but at the same time, you just think these top teams, when England play Ireland and France the last 2 weekends of the Six Nations, I think I'm right in saying that. And, you know, you're going to play potentially Bundiaki and Jonathan Donty at 12. Henry Slade is hard as they come. I know he's very pretty, but he's also very, very hard, a tough as nails. But there is just a difference in power there. You know, there is a difference. So I wonder if you're Steve Borthwick, if you don't just stick the big un in front of the big uns at 12.
Maybe. You mentioned it there about just being good at breakdown as well. I think the good 12s and 13s, the good centres, like the world-class centres and the world-class front row, are all good over the ball. You can't rely just on your back row now to slow ball down, to turn ball over. You can't just rely on your seven and your six. You have to be big in the centre. You have to be able to affect breakdowns in the centre, slow ball down. You don't often see too many doing it. I watch a lot of rugby, and you need to be good in that area. You look at the international front row now, and that's why they play international rugby, because obviously they're good at the basics of scrummaging, carrying, but they're so good at the breakdown.
Mm.
And a lot of club teams don't have that, and that's why these centres, these front row, aren't playing international rugby, a lot of them, because they haven't got the all-round game like a Bundiaki or a Dante would have, where they do everything as well as turn ball over.
Hey, by the way, watching Glasgow this weekend, Tuipulotu and Hugh Jones in the midfield were fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, and they haven't started all season either. Stafford McDowell's has played a lot of centre, so
he's played well.
Jones had to play on the wing, But I think that combination does work the best.
Really good. And again, a bit with Tuipulotu, you think, because you look at him and he's stocky and he's short and he's got massive legs, you think, well, he's a crash ball. Well, he does have a lot of power, but geez, he makes good decisions at the line. His split second, his short kicking game is fantastic. His awareness, spatial awareness, is brilliant. And he's got Hugh Jones, who is a big, powerful athlete who runs really clever lines. And they look like they're at the point where Hugh Jones runs at a space and he's just really confident that his mate will get the ball there, and that's when opposition are in trouble, isn't it?
Yeah, he's one of the best, mate. He's up there with Bundiaki in terms of decision-making, taking the ball to the line. He's a quality player. Really like watching him play.
And you add Finn Russell to that mix for Scotland. That's hard work.
It is hard work. That's Wales's first game. The Welsh squad was announced, Flats. No real surprises, because there's so many injuries.
Well, the new Alan Wynne-Jones is captain.
Yeah. Dav Jenkins. There was probably a few question marks over tight heads that have come into the squad. A couple of new caps as well. Like Alex Mann has been included, as has Mackenzie Martin, who looks really good at number 8.
He looks really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, rough and ready, like him.
But big and young and big and ready. And you don't often get that. It takes a bit of time, doesn't it, for some players to bulk up. But he's come and he's at a weight where he can do some damage, and he's young. Cam Winnett in as well, but as we mentioned early on, he's hurt his jaw. It's just who they play at 10, who they play at 15, I think, is the big question.
I'm a big Johan Lloyd fan, but that is primarily because I watched him so much playing for Bristol and watched the damage he could do in different positions, but didn't watch him much at 10. He played a bit, but it was more, I mean, Callum Sheedy was very, very much the first choice 10 when Johan Lloyd was at Bristol for those years. But actually, further out, he was really, really dangerous. But of course, you've got to run a game at 10, very different skill set. So you'd know more about having watched him do that.
Yep. He's done okay. I think he's been the shining light for the Scarlets, and they've had a terrible season so far. He's been one of their best players. Sam Costello has only played one game.
Mm.
Went off with went off with an HIA, didn't play last weekend or this weekend.
Mm.
And there's a bye week now, so he would have played hardly any rugby prior to Scotland. So I'm not sure what Wales are going to do. I thought they may have added in Owen Williams at 10 because he would be sort of your typical 10 of how Gatland likes to set up a team.
Mm.
Probably not as an attacking threat as Costello and Johan Lloyd, but more of the Dan Bigger mold. What do you make of Archie Griffin prop?
Well, yeah, interesting one that, because Kieran Azzurati, Leon Brown and Archie Griffin, isn't it? They're the three tight heads for Wales. Azzurati, we know a little bit about. When we were in Cardiff for Cardiff Bath a few weeks ago, he scrummaged very, very well against Benno Abana, whom I believe they know from age grade, he knows from age grade rugby and all that. But he scrummaged really well that day. I watched him relatively closely and he had lovely shape. He kept going, didn't lose his shape as he got tired. He looked good to me. So he's an interesting one. Leon Brown is a big specimen. You know, he's kind of a big, powerful man, but hasn't quite grown into his scrummaging strength yet.
Oxenshay on Sunday.
Yeah.
He's
definitely improving. And what you tend to find with young, with props is young props that are getting game time is that they are either naturally very strong in the scrum and ignore gym strength. That doesn't matter. It's good fun, but that doesn't make you any good at scrummaging. So ignore that, but they're either very good in the scrum or very good around the field. And every now and again, you find one that can do both from an early age. I would say Leon Brown is learning the scrummaging bit as he goes along, but he does have the genetics and evidently, judging by his improvement, the mindset. So you'd probably call it a growth mindset these days, but he is improving all the time. And that is a really, really, that sounds obvious, but lots of guys don't really improve. They kind of are what they are. And he is getting better and better as time goes on. So I like the fact he's included. You might see him struggle once or twice in the Six Nations, but I think that's all right. Because, you know, the example I often use in front row terms is, you know, Kian Healy wasn't an immense scrummager the first couple of years of his career, but he got better and better. He was an amazing player and he became a world-class loose head for years and years and years, and you'd still put him against anybody. So, you know, he learned quick, but became elite. So there's no reason Brown can't do the same. Archie Griffin is in, you know, at this level is very much an unknown. He's a young fella. He's a big unit. I live in Bath, obviously, and he plays for Bath. So I see him knocking around the place, and there's a lot of him for a young bloke. The players talk very highly of him. I've actually seen him in the gym. They sometimes use a sort of a gym in town that I'd go into. And I obviously sit in the background as the old man that they don't really want to talk to. And you sort of watch him work. And I don't really care about who's lifting what. Doesn't mean anything, but I saw him work his ass off on a Wednesday afternoon a few times, and you think, well, it's good that he's in here grafting. So there is, he's got the body for it. I think I'd be surprised if he got much game time, not because he's not good enough, but because they don't know if he's good enough yet. Mm. He hasn't played that many games for Bath. So good on him. I hope he goes well, but really anyone who claims to know him inside out is, you know, they either see him more than I do, or they're making it up because he hasn't played that much yet. But
I'm going to give you my team quickly and then we'll move on, please, to England. All right. So I'm going Gareth Thomas, Ryan Elias, Kieran Azzurati, front row. My second row's David Jenkins and Will Rowlands. My back row, I'm going Tommy Raphael at 7, James Botham 6, Aaron Wainwright at 8. My backs then.
So your back row again. I was looking at squad then. So your back row.
Tommy Raphael at 7.
Yeah.
I shouldn't. James Botham 6.
Okay.
And Aaron Wainwright at 8.
Okay.
My backs, I'm going Tomos Williams, Sam Costello, 9 and 10. It is a bit of a risk, but they haven't got many options. Centres, Nick Tompkins and George North. I hope George North is okay. He went off injured. They'll be sweating over him. I'm not sure of his fitness, but I mean, those two performed pretty well in the World Cup. Nick Tompkins was again, the find for Wales, even though he's played many times before.
Yeah.
Probably, I think it was his best run of games, his best tournament I've seen him play. On the wings, then I'm going Josh Adams and Mason Grady. And at 15, I'm going Joanne Lloyd.
Okay. Yeah.
There we are. There we have it. England squad.
Yeah, I'm right with that, mate.
England squad.
Yeah.
Happy? Not happy? Who's yeah, unlucky?
I mean, interesting. It is interesting. I mean, I'm going to make sure.
Yeah, just get up on the screen while you're filling now.
That's what I'm doing. Get it up on the screen. In terms of the uncapped guys, Chandler Cunningham South is very, very exciting. He's unusual in that, well, he's handy because he's tall, so you can stick him where you want, and he's a good line-out option, which always ticks a box at this level. So I look at your Welsh back row, and I think he's there quite enough height in it. Maybe you'd be all right, yeah, but it's always handy to have a Courtney Laws at six. Chandler Cunningham South is just, he develops a lot of power, but he's just really, really aggressive, and he hits really hard and carries really hard. And it's, you know, everyone out there at pro level is trying their best, but some people just develop more velocity and momentum into collisions. And he seems to have real venom in his carry and his hits. And I'm sure technically there are bits to round off, there are bits to improve, but as a raw specimen, he's the sort of guy you could put on the field against Italy and he will break tackles and he will smack people. And there's a lot to be said for that. He's a young bloke, hasn't played many games, but steamed his way into the first team at Quinns and played brilliantly when he's in it. So I'm really excited about him. Ethan Roots is an interesting one, another back row, kind of brought in, ostensibly to replace Dave Ewers, who went to Ulster. He's been not even quietly fantastic. He's just been really, really excellent. So they kind of, for a time, they've always had somebody of very, very high quality running around doing a lot of work. So when Thomas Waldron was there scoring loads of tries and Salvi was nicking ball, you know, you had Don Armand there doing a huge amount of high quality work, almost in that Jerome Kano role. So you don't realise how good he is till he's injured, till he's not there for a week. Then they had Dave Ewers. Now they've got Ethan Roots. He's been fantastic. Oscar Beard, you've seen play. He's big, he's quick, he's got really good feet, he's confident. So will he get any game time? You'd say probably not, but geez, another outside back from Quinns that you would say could do a job for England, you know, having not played a huge amount of pro games. And Manny Faye-Wabosso is kind of the interesting one because he qualified for Wales as well. So played for Cardiff Schools indeed, it's under 15s, but he's an interesting one to talk to you about because you obviously played internationals on the wing when you skinned Joe Rocofoco. And with Manny Faye-Wabosso, what I've seen is the ball in hand stuff is just obvious. So he breaks tackles that other people don't break. He is very, very, he's very light on his feet for someone who's very highly muscled and powerful. So he accelerates very quickly. His footwork's good. He's really aggressive. And that's great. And I guess the question comes around aerial bombardment, defensive positioning on the wing. Would it, if he's that much of a, if he's so good at what he does, they're going to kind of, in inverted commas, ignore / try and improve as they go the bits that he's not as good at. Then do they then put Slade at 13 to make it easier for Faye-Wabosso because they play together at Chiefs? There's an interesting one, but it might be about let's pick him because of what he can do rather than leave him out because of, you know, what he needs to brush up on. Where do you stand on that?
I'm not sure he's going to get selected straight away. He might do so that England tie him up and he can't then play for anyone else, another country for a while. I wonder what the communication has been like with him and the Welsh camp, because I know England have been in open talks with him about playing for England. I think it's more of a risk to play for England, to play international rugby, because you're up against so many more teams and so many more players. You know, if you wanted to go down the Welsh route, you know, you've got four teams, you don't have 10 teams, you know, so there's less competition. Not sure he's going to start. He's obviously a very good player. And he suits the way Exeter play, but that might not suit the way England want to play. And you can't play the same way you play at a club as you would play international rugby. I think Tommy Freeman has to start on one wing.
Yeah.
I just think he's been outstanding this season. And I also am a big fan of Elliot Daly. Because you need... I just think you need clever people in your team. You can't just be... Not robots, but you can't just be two or three dimensional players. You have to be four or five. Yeah, you need a genius in there somewhere. And for me, Elliot Daly falls into that category of being able to use different strengths to make breaks, to read the game. He's a very intelligent player. So I just don't know if he's going to start straight away, but he's certainly exciting and a little bit gutted that he hasn't chosen Wales. You can see why he's wanted to go to England. But it does come at a little bit of a risk if you want to play international rugby for the next 10 years.
Yeah, it does. It's a bold choice. Finn Smith, young fly half, has been really, really good. He was fantastic in the second half at the weekend against Munster. Absolutely fantastic. Tom Roebuck, Sale Sharks wing. Big, quick scores tries. So he's the sort of guy that just quietly might end up getting some game time. I agree with you on the two wings. They're the two wingers I would start as well. Freeman and Elliot Daly. So I think you just got to find room for Elliot Daly somewhere. I do agree with that. But Roebuck might not be that far off. Fraser Dingwall, we've mentioned already. And it's an interesting one. In my old position at Lucid, they're basically all injured. Mako Vunipola's retired, so he's no longer available. Joe Marler did hurt himself a few weeks ago at Twickenham, hurt his arm, and he did play the first half against Ulster this weekend. He did start the game, so I don't know what the injury is, so I'm not pretending I don't have inside knowledge when I do, but I've done my bicep before, I've snapped my bicep, and that might absolutely not be what he's done, and I hope it's not, but sometimes you snap them, you rupture them, and you need surgery, that's it. Sometimes you can actually manage it and play on and deal with it. Maybe that's what's happening. I don't know. But basically, with these things, you never quite know if it's going to stand up until you play. Do what you want in training. You never know until you're in the thick of it whether your injury is going to fail or not. And I don't know if he was only ever going to play 40 at the weekend. Maybe he was. So hopefully he's all right. So he's injured. Ellis Genge but he's in the squad. We're not injured. He's in the squad, so he might be injured, might not. You've got Ellis Genge is currently injured, didn't play for Bristol at the weekend with a hamstring injury. He would be your first choice. Marler would be close to first choice, but probably behind for the Italy game, behind Ellis Genge. And so you've got Benno Urbano is in there now, who's playing really, really well for Bath. And I think from looking across the squad, I mean, the three loose heads are Urbano, Marler and Genge. And at the moment, it might come about that Urbano is the only fit one out of all of them. So Genge hopefully is back fit. But if neither Genge nor Marler makes it, you'll probably see Finn Baxter, who's the understudy to Marler at Quinns, come into the squad, I would have thought. It's all interesting, depending on perspective.
Nice fixtures as well. Italy away first game, which you'd assume England will win. Then you have Wales at home. And
yeah,
I think it's good to play a team like Italy. And, I'm not trying to disrespect them, but they do finish down the bottom. And they're not the strongest of the teams in the Six Nations. They are getting better. But in terms of momentum, I think that's a good start for England. And you could look at it, and they could be two from two. It depends on, and I'm saying that because I know Wales' squad as well. We're down to the bare minimum. You've gone through a cycle. So I think with Wales, we might see a little bit of pain before we see any reward, because we've gone through a cycle where we've lost a lot of players. We've got a big group of youngsters coming through. And as we know, it doesn't often happen straight away. It takes a bit of time to get used to international rugby, to get that experience, to get up to speed of how physical it is, the pace of it, the time you've got on the ball, everything. So I only say that with Wales, in that we might take a couple of years. Just it might be some poor results, but I think we can see that where Welsh rugby is at the moment, and the age of the squad and the inexperienced, players that are coming in now. So we've gone through a cycle. But I think it's good fixtures for England. I mean, the best fixture is got to be France-Ireland first game.
Yeah, I'm doing that game, actually.
Oh, amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be amazing. Looking forward to that. Do you want my England team?
Yeah.
Before we go, I'm making this up. I haven't thought about it yet. I go, I mean, England don't lose by picking Ubano. He's been in great form. So I thought he was really good against Toulouse at the weekend. So Ubano, Jamie George, new skipper. Congrats to him. Tight head's an interesting one because Dan Cole, they've actually been starting Joe Hayes at Leicester Tigers. But I would actually start Will Stewart, although he has been missing out to Thomas Dutoit a little bit lately in selection. But Will Stewart, I think, has stepped it up a bit since he came back from the World Cup. He was good anyway, but he looks more aggressive at set piece. So that's my front row. I'm not going to analyse every position like this. It's too boring. Ollie Chessam and Mauro Itoje would be my second row. And I'm going to now make up a back row. I would have Ben
Neil
Curry.
Okay.
I'd have Ben Curry at seven, purely because Sam Underhill hasn't been playing. I would have Ben Earl at number eight, because he's been mega, and I would have Tom Pearson at number six, in with a forward slash Chandler Cunningham South, because Tom Pearson's only got one cap, Cunningham South's got none, but I'd start one of those two. I've said who I'd start. It's always tempting to start the fly half. Stuart Barnes wrote an interesting article at the weekend about starting fly halves and scrum halves that play together. So there's an argument to start Kerr with Smith. I still would start Alex Mitchell with Marcus Smith. I like that idea. I just think leaving Mitchell out is tough at the moment because he played so well for England at the World Cup. Although Danny Kerr is just electric at the moment. He was electric again at the weekend. Maestro is still doing it.
Hope he gets to 100 caps. I really do.
He will. He's too good not to. And he just never goes away. He'll be playing for Queens again next season.
You're right. He never goes away. Even like with disappointment, even being out of squads, just comes right back in. A bit like Reece Carey. Just doesn't go away, but not selected, even though he's playing well.
Still doing it. I think he'll get to 100 caps. And midfield, I go Lawrence 12, Slade 13, Freeman one wing, Daly the other. And at fullback, the obvious choice is Freddie Stewart. Okay. And realistically, that is who I would pick if I pick in the team. But George Furbank, I would love to see have a go. George Furbank, I love at fullback. I think he's a fantastic player. And he would, against Italy, a game you should win. And Steve Borthwick's talked about England needing a different mindset for this tournament. I wonder if they might keep ball in hand a little bit more, kick a little bit less in simple terms, and have more of a crack. And I think to that end, George Furbank is the form fullback in the Prem at the moment.
You could go Elliot Daly at 15, and then you could have Freeman and maybe Roebuck or another winger.
I reckon when Tom Roebuck gets picked, I reckon he will be really hard to drop if he stays fit, because he does do everything really well. And he has the added advantage, and it is an advantage, of being really big. He's big, so aerially, he's great. You know, you'd rather cross-kick to him than Faye or Boso, and that's not about talent. That's just about who's taller, who's got longer legs and back. It's just handy to be good and big. So I think he might end up getting a good few caps, but I would start with Daly and Freeman. There you go.
There we are. Got it.
That is a rugby podcast.
That is a rugby podcast. Box ticked. Where are you this weekend? There's no games. What are you doing? Are you going to a car auction? Are you...
Sarries is Premiership this weekend. Last Prem.
Is there?
Last Prem, yeah. I'm at Sarries on Saturday night, yeah.
Oh, I didn't think there was. There's no URC games. What?
I like going to Sarries, but I was there last Saturday night, so I kind of wanted to go to Bristol Bath, but we can't. We've got to go and film it at Sarries because it's a later kickoff, so it's the right place to be. But yeah. You've got to film your highlights at the later kickoff, really, obviously. But Bristol Bath, I think Bristol Bath might be, depending on who Bath pick, that could be a tough day for Bristol. It to be close, but in terms of form the last few weeks, I don't know if it will be.
No. Where were you? What games did you cover this weekend before you go? Where were you?
Sarries, Leon. Sarries lost all shape. Left it late. No shape in the first half. Really didn't kick into gear. Second half, way more direct. really far more impressive in the second half and ended up winning reasonably comfortably. But where were you?
I was at Racing Cardiff. It's a good first half, but just the power came through second half. Circlese was immense. He was brilliant.
Wasn't he great? Yeah. he was a myth. It turns out he's not a myth.
At all. So he's was so Tedder good. At 15.
Yep.
Excellent.
Jeez, they got some 15s out there, fella.
They are. But Lugarek and Gilbert were good, 9-10. But the power of the pack showed.
Lugarek is amazing, Nolan Lugarek, the 9, but he won't start for France. They'll start Luku and Jalibert both play for Bordeaux together, won't they? You see why.
Yep.
But jeez, Lugarek was good against Bath.
Then I did Dragon Sharks in the Challenge Cup with Francois Lowe on Sunday. Conditions were horrific, but
always looks good, doesn't he, Flo? Always looks good.
He does. Yeah. He's gutted.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Say every time he turns up, yeah, does you.
Sharks been really disappointing this season, though. They've had a real bad start. I think they've only had one win in the URC, which was the Dragons at home, but they looked a lot better. All their stars were back. They bought a big, strong team to Rodney Parade, which was good. So they had World Cup winners. They had Lekanyoam, Mpimpi, Oxenshea. Yeah. And it just showed in the second half. They just had too much quality. But, I mean, as I said after the game, what are you meant to do? You know, the Dragons are the Dragons. There's not a massive budget. You're up against a team like the Sharks who've got a decent budget. Three World Cup winners. It's tough.
Yeah.
But they did okay.
Do you know all the chat about Oxenshea? He's like, I like a bit of cake. He likes cake. I'm sure he does like cake. But Google him. With his top off, he doesn't look like he eats cake.
He's got some glutes on him.
These guys are immense, man. These guys are immense these days. Jeez. Anyway, that's enough. Right. Well done, Tom. That's a rugby podcast complete.
Well done, Dave. We're going to do one next week. I mean, we're not down to do any Six Nations pods for ITV this year. So, yeah, we'll do it. Should we do it closer to the game day so we can talk about the teams?
Good idea, Tommy.
All right.
All right. Good luck, everyone. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.